il 2 febbraio 2008 il Palazzo delle Papesse di Siena ha inaugurato Punto Za, giovane arte dal Sudafrica. Una mostra a cura di Marlene Dumas, Lorenzo Fusi, Kendall Gears, Bernie Searle, Minette Vari e Sue Williamson. Nandipa Mtambo è una degli artisti selezionati per la mostra. Mtambo crea delle sculture lavorando pelli di vacca e modellandole sul suo corpo o su quello di sua madre. In questa intervista parla del suo lavoro e delle idee che ne sono alla base. Una riflessione sui rapporti di genere, sui pregiudizi e sul sistema dell'arte sudafricano. L'intervista è in inglese.
My name is Nandipa Mtambo. I am an artist from Swaziland, but I live in Cape Town at the moment. I work in the skin of a cow, and I make big hairy women. I think that's the way that I could describe it, because the hair is still on, and I use myself, and also I've started working with my mother as the molds for my work, so I make big hairy ladies. Well, when I first started working, I think I was really interested in the material because from where I'm from in South Africa, the tribe that I would belong to is called the Nguni, and that consists of, I think, 6 or 7 different sub-tribes. And generally what happens is that men are the ones that are in charge of looking after cows and killing them and preparing their skins. And so women wouldn't be involved in anything to do with that part of the cow's life. So I guess I was interested in the whole assigned male and female role of things. And I liked the material because I didn't realize that you could manipulate it to allow it to do what you want it to do. So through using chemicals and these molds and working with a taxidermist for quite a while, I realized that I could use it for a different purpose. I think the reason why I started working with women is because I find it difficult to image other people, so the closest thing was to use myself as the subject. You know, within sort of Western traditions, being a hairy woman isn't a very attractive thing, so people have to do things like shave or wax, and I'm not a person who has body hair, so I've never experienced that aspect of life, I guess. So I think I was also trying to understand what the border between what's attractive and what's repulsive to people, because while I'm working, I mean, I get the material quite fresh, so I have to do things like scrape off the fat and take off the dung and brush the hair. And so that's quite a disgusting aspect of working with the material. But then as I work and as it comes closer to the end product, it becomes a more beautiful and sensual thing, because the hair starts looking shinier and you can recognize the female body shape, so it becomes something that's quite beautiful. But at the same time, you know, sometimes when the hair is quite long on the animals, people assume it was a gorilla or a fox, or, you know, some people are quite repulsed by the hair itself. But at the same time, I had another experience where there was this man who was walking through my exhibition when I first started working, and he reached out and he touched one of the sculptures. He didn't realize what exactly it was, but I think he was seduced by the material. And as he was touching, I think he realized that he was actually touching a breast. And so he kind of jumped back and, you know. So little things like that are quite interesting to understand how people relate to material and, I guess, animals and humans and what we find repulsive and attractive. Before people saw me, they assumed that I had to be a male. So I found that quite interesting. People thought that I was a man for a long time, I guess because of the work. And like I said, in the context of South Africa, women wouldn't necessarily work with the skin of a cow, you know. And I think also because of South Africa's kind of complex history and apartheid and the separations between black and white people, a lot of people thought that I was making a kind of cultural statement when it wasn't really that. I just enjoyed the material. Because I wanted to be a forensic pathologist before, so I was doing science and then I just didn't like it anymore. I guess I've always really been interested in dead material and chemicals and worms and things. So I think it's just quite funny that now, even though I'm not working as a pathologist, it's the kind of, I'm still working with dead material and with chemicals. And so I guess stereotypes around women's bodies and what people feel is attractive and what isn't, you know. I think some people react in a bad way to me making it quite obvious that, okay, well, these are breasts, this is the bum, and this is a female's body. So some people also used to think that I was objectifying the female body because of the way that I was working. So, when I first started working, it was terrible because, like, dealing with maggots and the smell, because I also don't eat meat. Yeah, I vomited and cried a lot. So in a strange way, I don't know if self-punishment is the right word. Yeah. So as I started working more and writing about it a bit more, I realized that I guess I was creating quite a personal attachment to the material. And because no one sees me crying or freaking out, you know, it's quite a sort of closed part of the process. And I think then I started thinking about how, you know, as people, we sort of try and fit into certain molds, you know. People aren't necessarily with us when we're trying to decide, oh, this haircut would look nice on me or these clothes would look nice. So they see the outward or the end result of your own personal process. And so I think they react to the end product more than they would the beginning of things. So I guess I was thinking about that whole thing. What is public and what's personal in the way that we either show ourselves or the way that we react to other people? At first, I make a mold of myself, so like a plaster of Paris, and so a full body mold. And then you have to buy the cowhide sort of fresh off the cow, so it's still, it's like wet. Like the fat of it is still there, and then you have to dry it out, and I take a big grinder, like an electronic grinder, and then you grind all the fat away. And then I just use chemicals, because now I've started using chrome and a whole lot of other chemicals to tan it. And then once it's tanned, you stretch it over the mold. And then as it dries, it kind of takes on the shape. I realized that once you've molded one thing in the cowhide, you can re-wet it. And then you can try and mold it over a different shape. But it still remembers the shape that it was in before. So it doesn't completely obey you reshaping it, basically. So I think that's why I started thinking about the whole idea of how the material itself remembers certain things. And so that's what the material memory was about. The reason why I started thinking about the hanging was because of the fact that I don't make a full body cast. It's something that you kind of see in fragments, so you can, with your own imagination, make up the rest of it. So I started thinking about how I could express in a way that I was wanting viewers of the work to be able to imagine themselves as part of the sculpture. So if you kind of stood in a certain position, or if you related to it in a way, you could, if you wanted to, move your body and put it into it so that you could make the rest of the sculpture. I hope that makes sense. So I was thinking about, you know, the whole idea of ownership and how I've taken ownership of the way that people experience my body, essentially. And so within a particular space, I'd like a viewer to also have the belief that they could take ownership of the space between themselves and the sculpture. So I wanted people to imagine that they could just step into it and then become either part of the sculpture or make the sculpture part of themselves. So that's why I started with the hanging. I don't think it's nice for people to touch them, but what I also quite like is when people move in between them, the sculptures also move, you know, because, you know, your movements kind of cause a bit of a wind that allows the sculpture to move. So I'd like for people to cause wind, but not not touch them. Well, I think think that people assume that all South Africans are black, number one. I think they also assume that the level of English you would speak wouldn't be understood. So automatically, for me, for instance, when I start speaking to people, they ask, oh, are you American? And I'm like, no. Where did you learn English? In South Africa? Are there schools in South Africa, like where you learn real good English? Yes. And the clothes? Where did you buy these clothes? Did you buy them when you got here in Europe or in America? No, I bought them in South Africa. So like strange things like that where people think that you kind of live in huts or, you know, we all walk around naked or something. I don't know. So silly things like that. And I think maybe because of the image of Africa that people see on the news or whatever, there's the thought that we're all sort of starving and not educated. And then when it comes to my artwork, I don't know. I mean, I found strange things like when I was in Canary Islands, this man assumed that I was making comment on black people being seen as monkeys. And I was like, no, I hadn't even thought of that, actually. Like, it wasn't something that but I guess because of either the material or the fact that I was from Africa, the fact that I was black, he just made this connection that I wouldn't have necessarily. Well, in my personal experience, the sound that I would absolutely like to get rid of, there's this, I guess they're like crass men, you know? Like you'll be walking and the builders will be like, baby, hey! Oh, that I think would be the sound that I would totally, totally remove. That is the most disgusting, like, it feels like they're calling a dog, like, oh, it is terrible. Like that needs to go. And I don't know whether it's just a South African thing or like, I don't know. I guess the sound that I would mostly kind of identify with South Africa is hooting. People just really hoot a whole lot, like in their cars. They just really like hooting. Well, I think South Africa's got a complex situation because in the times of apartheid, there was something to fight for or against. So a lot of the art that was made around that time was either in affirmation of the racial segregation on the opposite side. So people were making very politically motivated artwork. And then when there wasn't the obvious political situation anymore, I think people found it difficult to understand what to make art about because it was now more a private, personal journey rather than a collective, you know, political thing. I think right now it's kind of a strange situation because the majority of art institutions or art galleries, for instance, are still owned by a lot of white people. And so a lot of black artists were seen as people who would create township art or craft. So it's been quite a struggle to kind of elevate your work, if I can use that word, so that it can be accepted into a mainstream art market. There are some people who do have that white guilt, and so they are sometimes overcompensating, so allowing for certain types of art, because it's made by a black person, to be within the gallery space, when it may not necessarily be of good enough quality to be put in that space, but because you need to have a black representation, you allow for it to happen. I think because of wanting a sort of acceptance, some people aren't as open or as free within their art making as they should be. So they're not engaging fully with whatever political or personal things that they want to be expressing. Because also there's the fear that if you oppose a certain person or if you speak too openly about how you feel, your work won't be included within certain collections or within certain galleries. So I think it's quite a difficult thing because in South Africa, people assume that the art world is controlled by a certain section of the population. Yeah, I mean, I think people are sort of restricted and guess maybe don't express themselves in the way that they would like. But you also find it in quite subtle ways because the art world and the art market seems so small within South Africa. if you're an emerging artist and if you've worked in a way that people have really liked and is understood, because of a kind of fear of not being in that position anymore, sometimes you're stuck creating the same type of work instead of being able to expand and, you know, work in different materials or in different ways. There's the thought that if you do, you may not be part of that mainstream anymore. The good things are that people's view of who is an artist or what art material can be have expanded. So in that way, it's encouraging of different types of work, like new media or more conceptual work, or, you know, even sound work is something that people are becoming quite open to. So yeah, I think it's exciting to see the ideas of what art products can be expanding. So that's really exciting.
Le musiche che legano questa intervista sono di 41 e Messer Chups, pubblicati con licenza Creative Commons dalla net label Comfort Stand. Radio Papesse è un progetto di Ilaria Gadens, Carola Haupt e Cristiano Maggi.